Congregation, let us turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25, beginning with question 66. Lord's Day 25, on page 54, starting with question 66, what are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. 67. Are both birth and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ, which he offered for us on the cross. Question 68, how many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Answer 2, namely holy baptism and the Holy Supper. Congregation, the theme for this evening hour is maintaining the flower of faith. Maintaining the flower of faith. Three thoughts. In the first place, withering faith. Do you see the withering flower plant? Secondly, growing faith, a growing plant, a healthy plant. And in the third place, the means of faith, because that plant needs to be fertilized and watered. So maintaining the true flower of faith, withering faith, growing faith, and the means of faith. Congregation, we know in our area that growing plants is labor intensive. You know, you can put a little cutting in a pot or a seed in there. That's one thing, but then when that little plant begins to grow, it needs to be watered. It needs to be fertilized. It needs more light, maybe, or it needs to be pinched and pruned and spaced, and it's probably mortal. So it's one thing to have a cutting and a little plant or a seed, but it's something else to let that plant grow and look good so that you can sell it. It needs to look perfect, right? You don't want to have any spots on the leaves, or if it's lopsided, or you need to really care for that plant. The same is true for the plants of faith. When the Lord plants a cutting, when the Lord plants a seed, when the Lord gives life to a soul, that's one thing. But that life the Lord has begun also needs to be maintained. It needs light and fertilizer and water and a caring hand and more. And that's in the Bible, right? That's what we have read in John 15 about the vine. And that's what we read in 1 Corinthians 3. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So in the Bible we read that it's one thing to begin faith, but the Lord maintains it. And in that sense, for that reason, the Lord has given the word, and the Lord has given us the sacraments. The sacraments are seals and signs, a point of God, to let that plant grow and be more healthy, and having deeper roots and more flowers. One thing is different. When you look in the greenhouse, you see all those plants, and if it goes well, and if not, insects are eating it, you know. But you see sometimes fields with most perfect plants. They look so great. Because if they don't look great, you can't sell them, right? So they make their utmost to let every plant look perfect. And I think that goes reasonably well most of the time. But those plans of God's people, they never look really good. They're alive, they're God's work, but the holiest of God's people is only a small beginning of new obedience. And it's really something to keep that plant alive. The plant really needs to be pruned and taken care of with loving, tender care. And then still that plant, of course plants don't talk, but you know what I mean. The plant still says, I'm carnal, sold under sin, wretched man that I am. See? So those beautiful plants, yes, but the plants of faith, it's God's work. Absolutely God's work, and there's real life. They're truly God's people, but they don't look good. All their sins are forgiven. They're justified by faith. But in the area of holiness, there's so much they can learn. So that's why in the first thought, we go through the Bible a little bit and make a list of what those plans look like. Those withering plants. And I did not have to look hard for all those infirmities, all those weaknesses, all those spots, all those imperfect plants. They're just everywhere in the Bible. Something is missing here and something is missing there. And there the flowers are not big enough. And there the flowers are the wrong color. It's always something. So be prepared in the first thought for a long list of those not so good plans and yet God's plans. So what do you think, God's children, have they ears to hear? They received ears to hear the word of God and they've heard it. They really heard the voice of God, not audibly, not something extraordinarily, but from the Bible. They heard the word, and they took heed. And the word of God was planted in their hearts, and had an impact on them. And yet, although they have ears, don't have too high thoughts of them, because so often they don't hear. And so often God's children are still deaf. Still deaf. For example, the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews, I think Hebrews is also written by Paul, about the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. And then he writes about that, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He's talking to God's people. Dull of hearing. You don't listen well. Your ears are wrong. Something wrong with your ears. God's people. So they really need help. They really need sacraments. Because they are about to die. Because they're still that dull, being dull of hearing. You know, God's children have things they will never ever forget, right? Certain Bible verses or sermons or words of God, they have been so deeply brought to their attention. They have been experienced in the heart, and they meant so much to them that they won't ever forget them. But it is in the same token, they can easily forget, don't they? God's children forgetting things? Well, did the Israelites not forget the miracles the Lord had done? Have they not forgotten that they were led through the Red Sea? Still forgetful. Forgetting also that the Lord Jesus had done those wonders with 5 pieces of bread. He fed 5,000, and with the 7 pieces, the 4,000. And the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples that they had forgotten that. That they did not remember. So a forgetful people. So God's children. There are plans of God, but dull of hearing and yet forgetful. So they need to be reminded and reminded again. And that's why we have sacrament. You know, they are still foolish. God's people foolish? I think the world is foolish. Unconverted people are foolish. Right. But God's people still remain fools so often. And they misunderstand the truth. So that the Lord Jesus has had to say to them, how is it that you do not understand? And that's why the Lord Jesus spoke to those 2 men of Emmaus. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, forgetful and foolish and dull of hearing, they need the sacraments, they need baptism, they need the Lord's Supper, they need the preaching of the word to keep it up, to maintain it, to not let it die. Because it would die. If the Lord would put the cutting in the pot and just say, that's it. It would die. Or they still fall in sins. And that's one thing. But then also to not confess them. And to swallow it, and to refuse to confess it. When I kept silence, David, right, kept his mouth closed. He didn't want to say anything. He didn't want to admit, when I kept silence, my bones waxed all through my roaring all the day long. So dull of hearing, forgetful, foolish, not confessing their sins. Or they fight, God's children fight, the good fight. They all do. But that fighting is sometimes also not what it should be. They just fight a little bit here and there. Instead of faithful, constant fighting, ye have not resisted, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Striving against sin, the Lord has to say to his people too often, you are fighting, but you don't fight unto blood. You know when you are raking leaves or something, and your hands are not used to that, you have blisters, and maybe even red, and maybe even bloody red. If you really do it fervently and for hours, unto blood in your hands. And so the Lord has said that God's people should fight unto blood. Fighting. And not only fighting, they also faint. They faint. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So the Lord is rebuking his own people, chastising them as a father does, and then they faint. And they can't take it when the Lord rebukes them. So see that we have not such high thoughts of God's people, do we? They are God's people. They're beloved people. They're chosen people. They're alive. There's true faith. There's true thankfulness. There's the knowledge of misery. It's all there. But it doesn't look always so good. It's even so that the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians that they are bewitched, God's people. You don't say that to God's people, do you? That they are bewitched and confused and do not obey the truth. But that's in the Bible as well. It's a long list. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He is crucified among you. The crucified Jesus has been preached unto you, and you ignore him, and you don't obey the truth. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that little beginning, that little cutting, little seed, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? See, God's people, they need that maintaining hand of God. They need that word of God all the time. And they need the work of the Holy Spirit, the sacraments, to let it grow and develop and increase in knowledge. Because otherwise that plant stays small. And that's happening. Some of the plants don't grow. And then the grower looks at the rose and says, there's something wrong there in that corner. All the plants are a little shorter. All the plants are a little different color, right? So what's wrong there? And so also with God's people. They can be so different and way worse, I have said before, than our plants. You know, would you have expected the disciples to sleep when the Lord Jesus asked them to be awake and to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Would you have expected Peter and John and Andrew and all of them to fall asleep because they were so tired? That's right. But that's not an excuse, right? And the Lord Jesus came back to them and said, can you not be awake? Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? See, that's again an example of God's people not being so perfect at all. And there's so much wrong in their lives. So should I stop here? Just continue longer. I like to continue longer. Just rub it in. That God's people really need help. And that God's people cannot afford sitting back. That God's people cannot say, you know, well, the Lord has begun. He will finish it. I'm fine. No. You know, what about the love? The Lord put love in their heart, right? He took the enmity away and puts love in there. Love in their hearts. And, oh, they love the Lord, and they love the Bible, and they love the preaching, and they love God's people, and they love his days, and they love his laws. And they love especially the Savior through the Holy Ghost. And in the beginning, it is so fresh, so beautiful, fresh, like smaller plants can also look very well. When you get older, they may also get too old, right? But those young plants, and then those young plants are getting older, and they lose that freshness, and they leave the first love, right? And that's not something natural only. It is something they are rebuked for, that they have left the first love. Did they have done so? It was not taken away from them, but they themselves did that. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. See what the work the Lord has to keep his people straight, and to keep in the path, and to keep them alive, and to make them bear fruit. What about unbelief? Did you think that only unconverted people were unbelievers? God's people also, too often, are stuck in their unbelief. You know, remember the disciples in the ship, right? And the tempest came, and the winds blew, and the boat was filled with water, and it was sinking, and the Lord Jesus was on board, sleeping, and they were in deep doubt, and they said, "We perish, right? We perish." So the Lord had to come to them. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and woke him and said, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So, disciples, ministers, called by the Lord, with real faith in their hearts, except in the heart of Judas. And they were so doubtful and thought to perish. And Jesus was on board. See? They need the word and they need the sacrament, see? They can be so overly worried. And they can even be resisting the Lord. God's people resisting, I thought unconverted ones are resisting, like Stephen speaks that the Jewish people were always resisting the Holy Ghost, their fathers also then. The common work of the Holy Spirit resisting, but not God's people, do they? Do God's people resist, work against, not cooperate? Well, yes. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise, also all the disciples said. And Lord Jesus had to say, "Behind me, Satan," because he was considering things that were absolutely wrong and did not understand that Lord Jesus had to die. He said, "It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Absolutely not." And he didn't think he would deny the Master either. But he was a Satan himself. See? Are you a child of God? What do you think of yourself? Are you a fresh, good-looking plant? Really? I don't think so. None of those exist. It is always, you can't sell that one. The holiest one, I quoted there before, only the beginning of new obedience. So that's quite humbling, isn't it? And that's why the Lord Jesus has given the sacraments and his word. You know, the Apostle Peter took his sword and just cut off the ear of Malchus. And the Lord Jesus had to say unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And the Lord Jesus, children, you know this story. When the Lord Jesus was captured by the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees, and the Lord Jesus said, here am I, just take me and let them go. They all fled. They all ran. They all forsook him. Disciples, forsaking the Lord Jesus. That's so sad, but that's reality. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Or think of the time. I continued longer. This too. Bring it down. Think of the time that Lord Jesus was traveling in the area of Samaria, and it was dark, and they needed a place to sleep. And they asked for permission to have lodging in one of those Samaritan towns, and they were not welcome. And the disciples asked for fire to come down from heaven and to devour them. Disciples. Disciples so hard-nosed and so unforgiving and so rude. Or sometimes they feel cast down, looking at the circumstances, and they would suffer shipwreck if the Lord would not keep that plant alive and do everything to let it survive. And yet, although the plants don't look that good, they will survive. They will be kept alive, no matter what. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. See? See those plans of God's people? They don't look good, but they are God's plans. He planted them. He waters them. He will harvest them. Right when they die, he harvests them. And that's now typically the Bible. To be so transparent and so open about the weaknesses of God's people. So they are not placed on a pedestal. They don't deserve all the honor and glory. They need to be kept low because it's a wonder that they survive. That is because of the Lord Jesus who paid for them, who gave his blood for them. You know, that one sacrifice of Christ, right? Sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, for this purpose, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. That's mentioned two times. The sacrifice on the cross. So that's why it continues. That's why new cuttings are planted. Like new seeds are laid in the soil. So withering plants of faith. Let's go to the second thought. Growing flowers, advancing. You know, it's more honoring to God and more beneficial for God's people when they are stronger in faith and not weaker, and when things go better. So I have told you my first thought that it never will be perfect, but it does not mean that we can just leave it there and say, well, that's the way it is. It's the way it is. You can't make it any better. There's also a responsibility. And the more God's children are satisfied with Christ, satisfied with God, the more joy there is, the more humility there is, the more beautiful the plans look like, right? So, again, word and sacraments are meant to let that faith grow. To let the faith grow. Now, that doesn't always sound so good, right? The people saying, I'm growing. I'm growing in faith. Because that sounds often presumptuous. And yet, the Bible also speaks of that growth. That the little plants begin to develop and to show fruits. And that they also, in that sense, look beautiful. It's beneficial to better understand the gospel, that he may the more fully declare, reveal, teach, and seal the promise of the gospel more fully. So the flowers need to come out. They need to be seen to fully declare them. To seal something is to warrant, right? To assure that the gospel is true. So sacraments remind God's people of that only sacrifice. They warn not to leave the first love. They say, this do in remembrance of me. They are commanded in the sacraments to be more dependent and allowed to be more joyful and blessed with having more assurance, hopefully, and granted to be more humble, to be holier, and to persevere, to be encouraged, and to witness, and to give more glory to God, and to be even more amazed than before, and spending more time with God. And pray without ceasing. See, there is also so much room for improvement. So in the first half, we have mentioned all those weaknesses. Now don't sit back and say that's the way it is. There is room for improvement. And with the help of the Lord, it is possible to let it look a little better. So let me show you, not with such a long list this time, but with a few texts in the Bible, that it's possible to have yet a reasonable-looking plant that has grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And sacraments are helpful for that. Faith is not only need to be kept alive, but also needs to grow. See, that's different. To keep it alive is one thing, but needs to grow. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Right? Ephesians 3:17. So Christ not only sometimes being seen and sometimes being met and sometimes being enjoyed, but dwell in your heart. To be there, to dwell in the heart by faith, to be rooted and grounded in that love. You know, do we underestimate that necessity that God's children can have Christ dwell in the heart by faith? Or think of Colossians 2:7, rooted and build up. yes, build up in him and established in faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, abounding. See, that's also in the Bible. So many shortcomings, and yet there is the possibility of growing in grace and being rooted deeper and to dwell more, Christ dwelling more in the heart. Now, how do those plans grow? Well, what do you think about dew that's not in a greenhouse, but then you have plants outside, right? The dew can also be very beneficial, especially in countries like Israel. And what do you think that dew is? What is the dew for God's people? I doubt that you will guess it. What is it? What is the dew? Let me quote it from Hosea 14. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon with all the cedars. So God himself is the dew. Right? His nearness, his work, he is the dew. And through that dew, God's children grow as a lily. So one of the reasons why God's people don't grow is that they're missing the dew, that they're missing him. His presence keeps the plants alive and causes them to grow. So growing up is not becoming more important and thinking the world of yourself, but rather connecting more to Christ, receiving more of that sap stream from him to be more connected. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See that? So maybe the first thought you thought, oh, that's good. It's good to know that I don't per se have to have such great faith and so many fruits. I'm happy to hear that I don't have to qualify. But in the second thought, you see it, right? You cannot abuse that doctrine. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, dear child of God, are you abiding in him? That's the goal. That's why the Lord has given the word and the spirit and the sacrament, that God's people may abide in him. Abide. Not only leave and go and come back, but abide in him. But what is that abiding in him? Well, read it in 7, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So when the words of God abide in you, when you ruminate, when you meditate, when you think of them, when the words of God abide in you, when you try to digest them, and it is a command to grow. Not only a blessing, not only an advice, not only a hope, but it is a command. Grow. But grow in grace. In grace, understanding it better. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that knowledge of self and God's justice and God's fatherhood and of the Lord Jesus, that knowledge needs to develop and to grow. And that makes the plant look beautiful. When the Lord looks at his plants and the sees that his children are rooted in Christ and build up in him and increasing knowledge, and they look so much better then. For if these things be in you and abound, see that, abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So abounding, flourishing plants. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much to know about grace and God and Christ. And that's why the Lord has given his word. And that's why the Lord has given the sacraments, to have an increased knowledge, a deeper understanding of what grace is. So much to know about his names and his offices and his natures and his states. There's so much in the Lord Jesus that can be meditated upon. So growing in faith does not only mean that the knowledge of Christ increases, but also that everything else becomes much less important. So that means that the things of this world are worth so much less. Yea, doubtless I count all things with loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It's not only meaningful in the sense that they don't need good works to be saved, to merit anything. It's also a mark of grace and a mark of close life, I would say. If God's children are pilgrims, you know. And if Christ is more important, and when he is increasing, and they are decreasing. So that is also true for joy. You know, God's children are not always so joyful. They're not always so happy. Like when they say, "The wretched man I am," right? Then they have those low thoughts of self, and yet it is glorifying to God when God's people are more joyful. You know, did I use that example in church or catechism classes? I don't know anymore. But maybe it's the second time a year. Okay. But when a mother has cooked a delicious meal for the family and guests, and they're sitting at the table, and there's not much appetite, and they don't love the food, and they don't want seconds at all, their mother is disappointed, right? But if they eat and enjoy the meal and love it and say, "Can I have more?" then she's smiling. And so the Lord, when the Lord sees his people eating and his people drinking and his people rejoicing, and say, "Can I have more?" it tastes so delicious. It is really to God's glory. So in that sense, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. But also Isaiah 29 verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And thus the Apostle John writes a few times that he wrote those things that their joy may be full. Joy may be full. He must increase, I must decrease. Or 1 Thessalonians 3, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one towards another, and towards all men, even as we do towards you. So also not only the love to God and Christ and the earth and his law and his day and his people, etc., but also the love of one another, that the love might increase. The Lord wants the love of God's people for their neighbors and family members to increase. But the heart of the gospel, the heart of the sacraments rather, is to point more and more to that one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Because that is sufficient. You don't need more. It is that one-time thing that the Lord paid for. It's the only ground of our salvation. That's the heart of it. So the whole of our salvation, everything of the salvation, is from him. Forgiveness, justification, eternal life, the indwelling spirit, the only comfort, perseverance, victory, everything. His merited by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thought was those weak plants. And the second thought was they need to grow. And the third one is, what means does the Lord use? Congregation, the Holy Ghost uses the word to put that cutting in the ground. Or that seed in the soil. There is no other way but by the word. Little children left alone, right? Some are born again before they're born, like John the Baptist. So that is also possible. But normally, faith is by hearing. The word of God begins the work of salvation, not the sacraments. Not nature, not nothing else, but the Word. That's why we preach the Word of God every Sunday. But the sacraments are meant not to begin the work of salvation, but to maintain it, right? So I really like what you find in the Canons of Dort in chapter 5, article 14, on page 114. And as it has pleased God, by the preaching of the gospel, to begin the work of grace in us. So, it has pleased God, by the preaching of the gospel, to begin the work of grace. So He preserves it and continues it and perfects it. So it is begun by the Lord. But the Lord makes also sure that he preserves, continues, and perfects it. Oh. By the hearing of the word. Again. By meditation thereon, and by the exhortations and threatenings and promises, as well as by the use of the sacraments. So the word is, preaching the word is meant to begin it and to maintain it. the Word of God also meant to maintain it. And the sacraments only to maintain it and not to begin it. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, the sacraments are meant to begin it. They don't begin anything. So, the Apostle Peter also uses the example of infants. Think of little plants, you would say, in our metaphor tonight. Little plants. He talks about infants. And those young plants are the newborn ones, right? And they need milk. So that's parallel. The plants need light and water and fertilizer. The babies need milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. See? So if I just turn it around a little bit, as young plants desire the fertile water that you of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is the main means of the Lord to begin and to let grow. So that, like God's people, must keep reading the Word. That's the food. That's to grow thereby. And why is the Word needed? Well, that's also explained, right, in this article of the Canons of the Lord. It is the hearing of the Word in the service. It is the reading of the Word at home. And it's the meditation of the Word. And you just sit back and just try to understand it and study it. And this, in the Word are the exhortations. In the Word are the exhortations, the encouragements and warnings. And in the Word are the threatenings. And in the Word are the promises. So when you're reading the Bible, you should look for that. Right? You should look for them, for the exhortations and the threatenings and the promises thereof. I would add two more things that Canons don't use, and that's included, I believe. What about the singing of the Word? Right? Sing the Word of God. And what about communicating the Word of God? Talking with each other about the Word of God. So it is the reading, the hearing, the meditating, the singing, and the talking about the Word of God. John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See? So for the increasing joy, he has spoken. He has spoken unto you that my joy might be full. And in the sacraments, it is such a blessing to have a preparatory sermon and to have the administration and the reflection. So also means, right? Means the Lord is using to let God's people, those not so good looking plants, grow up. And what about nature and an accident and a disease and a death of a friend and whatever crosses? Can the Lord not use those things as well? Well, I would say yes, but, you know, an accident itself has never converted or has done anything spiritual to anyone. And maybe it prepares the soil a little bit. Maybe it brings you to the Word. In that sense, an accident, a cross, the death of a friend can be used in the hands of the Lord to bring you to the Word. But in itself, it does do much. So, those plans are small, and the plans are not looking so good, and the plans are looking a little bit better here and there. And the Word of God is so important. You know, that's why we need to think of time management. We are all so extremely busy. We fill our agendas with all the things we need and want. And to just be stubborn about it, say, that hour of the day that is nobody can take away, I'm not going to override that. You know, I don't want to ridicule it, but I think it's true that some spend more time with the dog than with the Bible, right? Or they spend more time exercising than in the Bible. So think of that time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And pray. Pray over the Bible. Maybe that's also under the category of the Word, to pray over the Bible. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. See that? 1 Samuel 12. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So think of Peter in prison. He was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And we see it a lot in the Bible, to pray also. And finally, elderly people, also in sensitive manner, we're again on lockdown today. It's not easy. It's hard. But may the Lord give you a soul, sit in your chair and sit in your room, to also spend more time in prayer. That could be such a blessing for the church. It would be such a blessing to the whole congregation, for young and old. You know, you may want to open that directory and just read those names for yourself and pray for them. We need more people to pray for the church, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Asking the Lord to begin the work of salvation and to put that cutting in there, so that may grow thereby. Next time you see a beautiful chrysanthemum, or what they call it, mums, right? Yellow, bright, beautiful, round, perfect. And you look at the plant and you say, I wish I would be like you. But also look away from yourself. And look upon that plant. The Lord has planted without sin. What the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one sacrifice that is enough for the expiation of the sins of the whole world. May we resemble him. May we look like him. May we be restored in his image. Amen.